Wait a second. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
It's the pause that refreshes. So I won't be saying anything for the rest of the show.
Okay, good. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon, our countdown to our 100th episode. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
So how far are we away now from our 100th episode?
62.
Okay, so the countdown has begun.
Now?
Well, it's still like...
It starts officially at show 38, or well, at anything that's 38, yeah. You start counting down towards 100.
Right. You know, it's like, I'm going with like the Olympics. You know, when we had the Olympics here in Vancouver, we were counting down. We had our countdown clock going for like about 2 years before it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
It was a clock that did not function as a clock.
No, it's just a countdown clock.
It just counted down.
It did function as a clock. It functioned as a countdown clock.
And you would think it looked a bit like an iPhone, except it was just a clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to use the same graphics as a 1970s clock radio.
It was an O phone.
An O phone, yeah. As in, oh, that's not very good?
Olympics phone.
Oh, Olympics phone.
Yeah. They had the same. They did the same thing in England, actually. They also had a countdown clock there.
Where?
In England.
Was
in London.
Big Ben? Did it just start counting backwards?
They just started reverse. Yeah, his hands just went, or its hands. It's actually not Big Ben, is it? Big Ben is just the bell.
Ben is the bell. The hands are a lady.
The hands are
a
lady.
It's a sexy lady's hands wrapped around that big old bell.
That's the thing, though. Like, it's Big Bell. Those are the names. That's the ladies' names for the hands.
Oh,
Big Ben
nice.
Is the bell. And it's really confusing, though.
And when that clock's a dongin', don't come a congin'.
Don't come King Kongin?
Sure, don't come King Kongin.
Okay.
Don't come. Actually, if King Kong went to England, as
he would have to fight
the Queen.
No, no. Which monster attacked London?
Oh, geez,
I can't. Gorgo.
Did he?
Yeah, Gorgo was a Godzilla-like creature that attacked London.
Very nice. Well, I'm just thinking, like, you should have King Kong goes London. That'd be nice, and he'd climb Big Ben. He would clearly climb Big Ben.
Tower
of London?
Wait a second. Because Big Ben would not be too much. He would just kind of like step up onto Big Ben. It was like he was doing some sort of a step-up class.
Ah, that's true. That's a good point.
It's actually not that tall.
And when he falls off it, he just goes, I'm okay.
When we were in London, we went on the London Eye,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. Have you been on it?
The London Eye? Yes, I have.
It is a slowly, for people who haven't been on it, unlike us world travelers,
mm-hmm.
it is a slowly revolving...
To be fair, we are on the lam from the law.
That's right.
We are like the fugitive.
Yes.
Every week we do this podcast from a different location,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to find the person who murdered our careers.
We were a little mixed up because both of us are missing one arm.
That's right.
We got confused.
We lost them in a Theater Sports arms scene in the 80s.
Mysterious rowing accident.
Oh, or that. That's also good. That's what we call in improv, not yes anding, but no, this is better. And then you just say that instead.
I am not an improviser. I just want people to know that I am in no way have any experience as an improviser.
Well, that's a shame because that's what we do every week on this show.
That whole yes end thing is meaningless to me.
All right. Continue with your point.
So the London Eye is a slowly revolving Ferris wheel.
That's right.
And
it used to be how they would execute people at the Tower of London. They
is that
put
right?
a blade on the top,
uh-huh.
and it would slowly
Very
come
slowly.
Down. And it was a cruel
wow.
way to kill people.
That is mean.
But you'd kill a day watching that
yeah.
happen.
Yeah, people would be yelling taunts during it, and then they get tired after a while.
Yeah,
taking a bets when the blade would finally come.
Well, it'd be pretty easy. You could see it coming down.
They'd have a pool
of blood,
a black pool. It was called.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Guessing when he would die.
I get you. I'm
okay.
with you.
Thank you. So
it wasn't worth saying thank you about. But okay,
you're welcome. So as it comes
that
down,
that was an undeserved bow that you just took.
I will bow again. I just literally bowed.
Yes, you did. It's great. Visuals are great.
Well, you know, I explained it, didn't I? Not.
You did. That's
Thus
true.
Thus gave it some context
and killed some more time.
Yes.
Okay,
also very important. So it comes around, and then as it comes towards where the ground or the mounting platform, I guess you would say, people run in, check for bombs, quickly sweep it, run out, and then you are quickly hurried into it. Then the doors close, and then you carry on a very slow maybe 40-minute long ride. It goes up into the air.
I think it's 30. I think it's exactly 30 minutes. Yeah.
Exactly 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But we had to stop because of a wheelchair. So I think that added – no, I didn't even add a minute. It's actually very efficient, I have to say.
Oh, very efficient.
It's super fast. Like we thought, oh, let's look at how long this lineup. We're going to be – oh, no, we're on it. So
England, damn it.
But the problem with it to me, although it is interesting to see, is England doesn't have much of a skyline. Like London doesn't have a great skyline. London was basically built in a time when everyone was on foot and looking up, you know? So everything is kind of built to astound from the ground. That's my new London motto.
Thank you.
And
you don't care from the air.
That's right. Because you're basically looking at roofs.
Sure.
And you're not kind of like, wow, look at those tall buildings. Not really a lot of tall buildings.
Nope.
There's the Shard.
Yep.
There's the Gherkin.
Which gets blown up in every action movie.
Is that what happens?
A lot of times I've seen the Shard blow up too
much. It's the Eiffel Tower of London? Okay.
Yes, it is. Yeah, well, they blow up Big Ben, obviously.
Big Ben.
First thing, aliens come to Earth. You're going to blow up your Eiffel Tower. You're going to blow up Big Ben.
Yeah. Boom. Recognizable.
They don't want to go to New York anymore. It feels weird. Maybe now they go to Chicago.
Okay.
Blow up the stadium.
Blow up the stadium.
Yeah.
But that was in New York, though. The stadium being blown up.
What? Was it? Oh, well, I'm just saying, go to Chicago, blow up.
I was thinking of Dark Knight Rises, where they blow up a stadium.
Oh, very good.
But it's clearly in a Manhattan.
We're not talking about
place.
Dark Knight Rises again.
Again, no. We don't want to go into that.
We're done.
Yeah. I thought you brought it up, though, with your stadium blowing up thing.
Yeah. No one ever blows up the Vatican. You ever notice that? No one ever blows up the Vatican when the aliens come. You think, like, you go to Rome?
Mm-hmm.
They might blow up the Vatican. Nah, never.
No.
They got some sort of deal
I guess they
going
do.
On. You know what? Because I think aliens are Catholics.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
That's why there's so many of them.
That's right. That's why they come down here. They're so angry about birth control. Okay, keep going.
So, well, I was just that was what I was going to say.
Just picture the alien leader in a Pope hat now.
In a Pope mobile.
Wow, Pope mobile does look like a flying saucer.
Well, you know what's strange when you bring that up is that there's a Pope mobile in Cars 2. Which I think is weird. So that means that there is a car pope in the Pope mobile?
Or the Pope mobile is the Pope of the cars.
So there was a car Christ who was crucified on a
Okay, well, let
cross.
Me tell you, here's the problem with that. If there's a
there's
car.
No problem with it.
Well, let me tell you the problem with it. If there was a. Because he could be crucified on, you know, something metal. If he was the car Christ.
He's crucified on one of those lifts, car lifts.
Right. Now, then car Christianity started after him, meaning before that he was a car Jew, which means he had to be circumcised. Yeah. So they have to circumcise the exhaust pipe?
Yeah, they cut the muffler.
Okay. All right. So that's Mr. Lubinbris?
So the Jewish cars are really loud because they're muffler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay, go ahead. I think you had a point to make about a half hour ago.
I did. I can't even remember what it was now. Brought up the eye because I was thinking about London as – oh, because we were talking about it being destroyed and the tall buildings. And there really aren't a lot of tall buildings in London, as I noticed when I was on the eye, was what I was going to say.
And they drained the Thames in at least two things that I can think of. They drained the Thames in Doctor Who and in Fantastic Four 2. Both times the Thames was drained.
They dreamed
and the thing had to grab the London Eye, and I don't know what he did, smack the Silver Surfer with it or some business?
Is that right?
I don't know, something. He had to save something or something happened.
Yeah.
No one really cares about Fantastic Four 2.
I saw it, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, no one does.
That was another Rise movie.
Yeah.
Okay, we forgot that one.
Yeah.
We were talking about Rise.
You forgot about
I
it.
I forgot. I totally forgot about
if
it.
If you listen to the irrelevant show Rise of the 14-Year-Old Boy sketch, you will notice I put that in
there. You have it in there?
Yeah, okay. I do have that in there,
okay.
Sir.
You had time to research.
Yeah. Speaking of people who had time.
Google.
You were a little late today. No problem with that. But because of traffic. You were stuck in traffic.
Oh, it's terrible. Well, there was a giant accident on the Portman Bridge.
Oh, this is good. We're giving traffic tips.
Yeah. The kind of the major bridge from one of the most populous regions in the Lower Mainland, the kind of suburban areas around Vancouver, a truck had a huge accident, crossed into the oncoming lane with his truck, and he's closed off two lanes of the bridge in both directions.
Wow.
So basically, the bridge is crawling, and so everyone who wanted to go that way went a different way. So I was with all those people in their alternate route, going my normal route to come down. But because so many people, you know, were taking alternate routes, it was much heavier, the traffic today. So everywhere I had to sit and bide my time.
Now, here's what I think they should do on, I'm not a driver, but let me know if this would work.
Okay.
On highways.
Yes.
If you would put up a sign saying, no accidents, please.
That would be so helpful. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed, like, if you put up a sign, people tend to ignore it.
Okay, then you put up a sign saying, please do not ignore the next sign. And then, the sign of that, no accidents.
But then you'd have to have a sign before that one saying, please do not ignore the next sign. Then another sign saying, please do not ignore the next sign. And then the sign saying...
Okay, first sign should say, free beer. Second beer. Sign should say, we lied about the free beer, but please pay attention to the next sign.
Okay, remember, people are driving really fast. You have to be a little less
The wordy. Next thing you'll see is Michigan J. Frog and a guy going, sing! Come on, he can sing! And we go, that frog can't sing. Next thing you see is the next sign is legit. Yeah, next thing you see is no accidents, please.
Okay. Yeah. But you've already set up this kind of string of untruths, so will they take it seriously, your sign requesting people to not have accidents?
Okay, well, what we'll do is on the other side of the road, we'll go, one of these sides of the roads is true, one is false. You're allowed to ask one question of the signs.
Because actually, if you drive on the freeway, there are signs that, or neon things like highway signs that are giving you tips for heavy traffic and things. They do say on them, please drive carefully.
Oh, okay.
And what I've noticed is that no one actually pays attention to that.
Okay, all right.
And the people who do pay attention to that make everyone else mad.
Yeah, that is true.
Because
people that drive the speed limit make people mad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got then a choice to make if you want to go along with the crowd, brother, or if you want to live an ethical driving life.
Well,
and then you know what? If you do live an ethical driving life, you will go to the same heaven that the cars go to in the movie Cars.
Is that right?
Yes.
With the Pope.
And if you make a sin, you get forgiven by the car Pope.
Of course you do. You have to, can't think of it. It doesn't matter. I'll think of something later on.
Will you?
No. What I was going to say was, the thing about when you say drive an ethical way is I would disagree because on the road.
You disagree with ethical things.
On the road. No, not ethical.
You are a force for evil.
partly that. Yeah. But also because on the highways, it's democracy.
Ugh.
Do you know what I mean? There's no ethics of driving. Democracy. Besides being courteous, there's no real ethics of driving.
You're anti-democracy and you're anti-good.
I'm pro-democracy on the freeway. So I feel
you're pro-democracy.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if people are driving 120 kilometers an hour on the highway.
We've all voted.
Then I think that everyone should be driving at that speed.
Right.
That's a vote.
Right.
And so, Mr. Putt-Putt in his little cap, driving along with, at near the speed limit, usually a little below it.
Yeah. I'm picturing Goofy as Mr. Walker Mr. Wheeler.
Yeah. He's like some kind of crank, party, some sort of, I don't know, the Christian Heritage Party or something like that. That's kind of him, right?
Sure.
Like, kind of off to the side. Right. No one's paying much attention to him. But yet he still continues to, clog up the works with his insistence on, his ethical driving.
Mm-hmm.
But I would disagree that it's ethical. I would say
just
that
yelling
it's the
yelling
opposite.
Out the window, come on, fellas.
It's discouraging. That's right.
Let's all just drive the limit.
Can't we all just get along?
That's right.
Oh, boy. Everyone's driving so fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's what I do think he sounds like, actually.
I'm sure you do.
I think you're very right. Because, the other day I had to, it was kind of annoying because of some car things, car issues.
Car lady issues?
Phyllis, my oldest daughter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it is. Oh, geez. I feel weird, awkward.
Lady car issues, did you say?
Yeah, lady car issues.
That's in Cars. That's Cars 3.
Okay.
That's the subtitle, Lady Car Issues.
Okay.
Okay. So,
all right. You're there in your car. You feel safest of all.
I just want to, I just want to say, in Jewish cars.
Oh, brother. Okay.
When the lady car has an oil change, can she not has to sit in a special seat? the male cars can't sit in the same
chair? That's right. And
can't park in the same space as her.
Right. And
if
you're filling up the lady car with gas, you have to do it through a hole in a sheet.
That's for Mormons.
Is that?
Yeah.
I think that's also Jewish.
Is it?
I think it is.
Through a hole in the sheet?
Yes.
I think you're wrong.
Well, I've seen a picture there's a cover of Bust magazine with Sarah Silverman on it, and she's holding up a sheet with a hole in it.
Okay.
And I assume that's because that's an Orthodox Jewish thing as well.
Oh, okay. Well, that might be. But that could be like a whole other kooky thing that's, has its own. Because,
So what you're saying is, I'm right, but you're saying that's a whole other thing.
I'm saying you might be right.
No, I think I'm pretty much right on that one. But
I'm
okay,
saying you might be right, but I'm not sure.
Dave, I bet you a pen.
You're going to bet me a pen? Speaking of which.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Speaking of
pens. You're finally going to pay me this pen you owe me for.
I'm finally going to pay you the pen.
Thank you.
Because if you remember two little words from a while back, Sudoku.
Okay. All right.
Which
I
is
think
actually.
You're going to lose the bet about how many words.
Which is actually. Okay. Sorry. Three words. It's actually Sudoku.
All right.
We were corrected by someone who knows more than us, which is most people.
Yeah. It's fair enough.
So While I was in England,
a bag. Dave has brought out a bag.
While I was in England,
the office isn't on fire right now.
There you go.
All right. You're handing me what looks like a soldier.
Yeah.
A soldier. Now, is this a pen?
Yep.
How does this work?
You just pull on his legs.
I pull on his legs and a pen comes out. Yay. All right. I will post a picture of this. This is fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. But that wasn't enough.
All right.
That wasn't enough. Because then I saw this one.
This is great,
While we were at Harrods, I saw this pen and it spoke to me.
Okay. Explain what I'm looking at.
Okay. This pen, it has a little yellow bag attached to it, but on top of the pen is a clown.
Right.
It's more of a jester, I guess, than a clown. And in the pen itself, there's bubble blowing liquid. So
yes,
you can blow bubbles
is.
With your pen. All right. Then in the bottom part, the cap comes off and there's your pen. And then it also has a bag, and I assume there's candy in the bag, although I haven't looked.
Wow. Thank you so much.
That's from Harrods.
Oh, that is fantastic.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. That is really good. This is
thank you.
Pen really blows. Bubbles. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Something to throw in a drawer and forget about.
No. I will be blowing bubbles later on today with this. I will first take a picture of this, and I will put this online so you can see David and I having a gift exchange. No, that's great. Thank you very much.
That's no problem.
Much, much, much appreciated.
I meant to give it to you a couple weeks back, but you know, the way my brain works is it doesn't. So I kept leaving it in the car.
David and I played poker last night with our friends David Fine,
Allison
Snowden, who one of which at least we hope to be a future guest on a future show.
If not both, yeah.
Then why not both?
Why not?
They are Academy Award winners.
Yes, they are.
We were also there with our friends Roger Fredericks and Louise Moon, Gemini Award winners,
yeah.
We're there with my wife, Pia Guerra,
Eisner Award winner. And how about you, though? How about you?
Me?
You are a...
I am an Eisner Award winner and also multiple loser.
You are a winner, though.
I have lost 3 times. I have won once, meaning I think I'm down 2. -2 Eisners.
No,
I have less Eisners.
I think you're looking at it the wrong way.
Never been nominated.
I think you're looking at it the wrong way.
Okay.
Because you are, in fact, a winner.
I am a Schuster Award loser.
You've not won the Schuster Award.
Never won the Schuster Award. Pia's won the Schuster Award.
That'll come.
Has she?
Well, I think
she has one. Yes. Yeah,
no. I mean, for you, it'll
actually
happen.
here's the way it's worked. The second I start getting nominated for an American award,
yeah.
I stop getting nominated for Canadian awards.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's how it works, brother.
That's Canada.
Yeah.
It's like
Canada.
It's like that story about the that guy, Lorne Michaels.
Oh yeah, what happened to him?
When he was at the radio, when he was trying to get a show at CBC, and he was telling, you know, we're really good, like we're really funny. And the guy said, well, if you're so good, why aren't you in America?
Yeah.
And so he said, you're right. Why aren't I in America?
Well, we had a weird experience recently where the Workers' Compensation Board approached us because we got a company here, Hello Kitty Studios, and said, hey, guys, why don't you give us some money? I was like, why would that be? It's like, well, you got a company, and so we'd like to, you know, we're covering now all people who are working in the film and TV industry in British Columbia.
Okay.
I was like, oh, okay then. So we looked back and I realized I have not worked in British Columbia for 7 years.
Okay.
Like I work for an American company and I work for a company in Edmonton, but neither of those is a BC thing.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized there's no damn work here. I just went, it was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't quite realize it. And Pia works for American companies,
mm-hmm.
you know, as well. And it's like, oh, that's very strange. Just thinking like, it ain't no jobs here in BC unless you – like the way I always say like whenever I want to do a show, if I want to do a live show.
So what you're saying is BC, we're all about insourcing.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Like I do a lot of live shows here and it's always like, so you want to do a play. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First, you got to build a stage.
Yes, that's right.
That's the first thing you got to do.
First, you need a barn.
Yeah. Well, first you got to build a barn because we don't have as many barns.
That's true.
You got to build a barn, then you got to turn the barn into a thing.
Yeah.
And it's like there's nothing in this city that's like that you can jump onto and there's already some momentum. It's just like, okay, we got to get that elephant moving and everyone start pushing. And once you start pushing, you're okay. But oh my word.
Well, once you start pushing, you'll look behind you and you notice everyone is in the wagon you're pushing.
riding
along, looking at you. Where are you pushing us?
Yeah, a little bit. That's not true.
But I just want to tell you that
they do a lot of the pushing themselves.
I just want to tell you that my dad has some boards at home that we can use. And we have some bales.
Okay, but then I'd have to use him and his barbershop quartet.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, and most of the songs are terribly racist songs about mermaids.
They're not racist. How can you be racist about mermaids?
in the Black Sea. No one cares what you do and what you put there. I got a tail, or maybe I don't. Anyway, I think that's a song. But yeah, it was just a weird feeling to realize that, like,
I don't even think as you sang it, it was a song.
Nothing goes on here. Nothing goes on in BC. Mm-hmm.
What about Fringe?
The Fringe Festival?
No. The show Fringe.
Fringe?
Isn't it filmed here?
That is true. But that's Alcatraz? An American show. True. They do come here to shoot things on the cheap.
So that's part of...
That's an American show.
So that's insourcing.
That's American dollars. That's right.
Insourcing.
But like, when you're talking stuff like CBC, you know, bringing up CBC...
Oh, yeah. Forget it.
Nothing.
Although there was a show filming very briefly in Langley.
Okay.
Like a show about a little girl.
Called...
Or a teenage girl.
Called...
I don't know... Incredible Zany Madcap Adventures of...
Yeah, right. Sounds like it was based on a book. Sounds like it was based on a book. Like, there's no, like, original... Hey, like, here's the thing. Every so often...
They try.
They call us over to the CBC,
mm-hmm.
and they gather us creative types in a big room, and they go, listen, we're open to ideas.
Yeah.
And we're all, and we all sit there, and then one guy, a young guy, usually with a neck beard, raises his hand and goes, hey, man... Why don't you do something interesting?
We all go like,
that guy's new. it's like, well, we are trying to do interesting new things, and we are open to suggestions. And we put this portfolio together, and I think you can see from these clips that we showed of things that aren't creative at all and basically nothing, and we just showed you some bullshit, and we're all nodding politely and blah, 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 blah. And that happens like about every 3 years.
So,
and then they replace one of the members of that group and then bring it in. And another guy, whatever, this time with a soul patch, goes, hey, man, what's the deal? Why don't you do something interesting that reflects us? Well, we try to reflect the diversity of ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-boo.
Yeah.
And nothing.
So you end up with Little Mosque on the Prairie.
You do. You do end up Little Mosque on the Prairie. Which is like, a sweet lord, two problems. One, there's the obvious of like, okay, we're using a cute, you know, Little House on the Prairie pun. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's great.
It's kind of fun. Okay.
It's kind of 30 years old, but okay.
It's kind of like, you're making fun of, you know, Mannix. You know, it's just like, okay. So there's that. And then like, okay, but basically we had two sitcoms in Canada at that point. And we had one called Corner Gas that took place in Saskatchewan on a prairie.
Yep.
And they decided, let's set the second one on a prairie. No, what the fucking what? You've got a whole huge country.
Yeah.
Second biggest country in the world. Maybe anywhere else, maybe in the country, maybe something.
Well, but then you wouldn't be copying the successful show, though.
That's true.
So that's,
and you know what makes that show successful? You might think, oh, is it Brent Butt and his years of stand-up and basically loosely basing that character on his life and then hiring really top talent and then basing it again on established stand-up that the guy's done?
Nope.
And it's like, no, it was the wheat.
Yeah.
People love wheat.
That's right. In Canada?
Wheat. They're nuts for.
Yeah, you're forgetting about 10 minutes of the showtime is taken up with this long shots of wheat gently blowing in the breeze.
And then the rest of it is them baking bread.
Corner. That's where they get the gas.
Oh, are you talking the Corner Gas show? Yeah. Well, they sell the bread, I suppose, in the little shop. Son of a.
Was I talking?
Well, there was a, and then we got the comedy. They used to call it the Comedy Network.
Mm-hmm. What's it called now?
It's called Comedy.
Oh.
It's just called Comedy.
Wow.
Could you imagine starting a network and calling it Drama? No, because that would be fucking stupid.
Wasn't there one called Action?
Yeah, there was one called Action. But that makes, which again,
I think owned by the same
stupid.
Owned by the same company.
That's right. Okay. So that's kind of stupid. So back in the day, before this network existed, there was like three companies that were like going, we want to do this kind of thing. And one was the Second City. We want our own channel.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good. There was another channel was like, we want our channel. We're going to do this. And the Comedy Network folks went, we will. And listen, here's what we're going to do. We are going to expose you to so much Canadian talent. We're going to have this show, a talk show, and we're going to have like stand-ups on it.
Okay.
We're going to have like a new stand-up specials with Canadian stand-ups. That's going to be great. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. We're going to have this. And we're going to have sketch. We're going to have improv. We're going to have that. And it goes on. And you had the Mike Bullard show, which, you know, isn't the best thing in the world, but at least it was a thing.
Yeah.
And every night you'd see new talent. And then they canceled that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's nothing. And then they went. And then recently, like this year, they had Picnic Face.
popular.
Right. And again, it's going about things the right way. It's going about things the kids in the hallway, which is they've been together on their own. They've been developing this work. They've mm-hmm. done a lot of video. They've had success.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take that. We're going to put it on TV. They're going to do it all themselves. It went okay. The ratings were all right. And they got canceled. And now the Comedy Network, to me, or comedy, has no fucking purpose. There's no reason that should exist. There's no reason any tax dollar should go towards it. It's irrelevant. And it makes me mad.
Well, I will destroy your arguments.
Please do.
Right now.
Oh, I love you.
You ready?
Please. Just for laughs, gags.
SCTV reruns.
Uh huh.
There you go.
Right. You can't get those anywhere else?
I don't know. Where else can you get them?
You could get them any fucking where else. Look, there's like Byte TV. There's like all these other channels. You can SCTV reruns. Let me tell you, if you can put SCTV reruns on the Comedy Network, I got to call it the Comedy Network. I can't just call it comedy.
It's weird.
It's stupid. If you can, if they can afford it, anyone can afford it. You can afford it.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be able to put it anywhere. SCTV reruns, fine. That's lovely. But all they show, like, when it's like they got to make their quota, so it's like, oh, we're showing Canadian talent.
Yeah.
Yes, you are. You are showing just for laughs reruns from the late 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And here's what happens when you watch those shows. Every one of them, this is what you do. You watch the show and just go, oh, that's too bad he's dead.
Is that right? Really?
Yes. So many comics.
Oh.
It's just like, oh, that was a shame about that heroin. Oh, he committed suicide.
Ooh.
Oh, that guy. Oh, that's too bad. Oh, what happened to that guy? Oh, remember that guy? Oh, her. Ooh, that's a shame. Oh, he's doing okay. The other two guys in the group aren't so good. Oh. So it's just like, oh, it's like watching home movies.
But I think that, like, you have a particular knowledge that most people watching it wouldn't have, though.
Maybe. But we see, like, it's just so many comics don't end up good.
It seems like it was a high attrition rate the way you're talking.
Well, it's almost like when you watch the Food Network channel and they rerun these restaurant makeover shows. And you're like, we went in and we fixed this restaurant up. And then you see the one review. It's like, this place is popping. And then I was like, let me just go to the web and see how that restaurant's doing. Closed.
Really?
Almost every time.
Really?
Almost every time it's like a makeover or a redo or a remodel. It's like, look, the same problems are going to exist afterwards.
Yeah.
There you go. And you're like, for the most part. So it's a little bit sad. But Just for Laughs Gags is a completely different situation.
Oh, man. That show is gold.
Yeah.
Golden.
How in Quebec are you...
Like a stream of piss.
How are you allowed to dress up like a cop and stop people in traffic?
It's comedy.
It's your police officer.
They love the pranks there.
What happens if the guy gets shot? What happens if a real crime's happening and you're in the cop car? What do you do, man? Like, that's just nuts. And they had one the other day where...
Eat donuts.
Yeah, I'm forced to watch them sometimes if you're at the airport. Yeah, eat donuts. That's the stereotype. Where it was a smoothie shop, okay, in a mall, like an open-air smoothie shop, as in like a food court. And the gag was there's a bunch of fruit, and a little mischievous kid puts a mouse on the fruit. And the guy takes the fruit and puts it in the blender and blends the mouse. And people are going, no, don't. You would think, like, if you saw a mouse about to be blended, you would be screaming to the moon. You would throw a rock at the guy's head to stop that. But it's all people just going, hey, stop. Don't do that. There's a mouse. Stop. Hey, buddy.
Oh, they're actually talking?
Hey, buddy. No, it's like, it's them mouthing the, because
it's in French, so they don't.
And then they blend it, and then they pour it into the glasses, and people are drinking, and they're like, no, don't drink it. Don't. So I'm like, I don't even know what people are like there. Their souls are so shriveled that they wouldn't stop a mouse from being blended in a thing. Horrible.
Their souls are so shriveled.
Just, I don't know.
That's from the jazz festival.
Yeah, I think so. And all the cigarettes and smoked meat.
Smoked meat.
Yeah, all
from
the smoke,
cigarettes.
Yeah, all the smoke just coats your soul and you end up with what they call the black soul.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now I'm not hopeless about BC, but I do know it'll be a lot of work to actually get stuff going.
Well,
and whenever people say, like, you know, save the CBC, I always think, like, from itself. You know, they got the thing now, reimagine the CBC. And I'm like, reboot the CBC. Just somehow. Even when I've worked for CBC since I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
And even back then when I started, people were always, oh, it was great a week ago. So it's just like right before you got here, buddy. It was fantastic. Yeah. We had the Irish Rovers, and we did this and the Paul Anka show. We had Rennie Simard, and we had this.
We had Rolf Harris.
We had Rolf Harris. We had everything, and it was the greatest. And it's always been cutbacks, and everyone's sad. And, you know, you're lucky you can get anything on there, and it's just it's a bummer. Just like clean house, mm-hmm. Start fresh.
But I think if you cleaned house, wouldn't that just be the end of it?
Maybe. The problem is you can't do it while there's a conservative government in. You really have to have a real lefty government in to know that you will restock the joint. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, when you clean house turns into condos, and that's the end of that.
That's the end of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because my feeling would be like, save radio, jettison the television side of it. Mm-hmm. I don't really see the point of the TV anymore. Because the original mandate of the CBC, like when we were young, having gone up north, where I experienced the full horror of two channels existing in all those towns.
Right.
Only two channels.
One was good, one was evil. And they wouldn't tell you which was which.
One was the CBC and the other one was something else.
Right.
Usually CTV. Those were your two channels that you could choose from.
Right.
You know, so the CBC had a real mandate to provide, you know, a kind of a cross section of entertainment of various sorts, whether it's musical or reruns, some American television, some Canadian, the news and hockey and those sort of things, you know, but that's kind of gone now. I mean, everyone has satellite or cable or some version of those sort of things.
It's the PBS dilemma, where PBS used to come on and go during the pledge drives, where else are you going to see this kind of programming?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's on the specialty channels that carry this kind of programming.
Yeah.
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 And, I got into a conversation once with the Air Force folks, and they were – because they had done both TV and radio. And we got into, like, why is CBC radio so good and CBC TV, you know, so bumpy? And they were saying, here's the reason. It's because CBC – there's money in TV. So CBC management cares about it, and there's not money in radio, so they don't care about it. And because they don't care about it, they've left it alone. And because they left it alone, it got really good.
Well, unfortunately, they tore it to pieces. So
afterwards, yes, they did, because there wasn't enough TV, I think, to meddle in anymore. And people had to keep their jobs, and you always got to stick your fingerprints on something and go like, "I'm doing something, boss.
Yeah.
Look what I did." You know. But for the longest time, they didn't do nothing, and the less they do anything. Yeah, you get some good stuff.
But I think most people would feel that way about most public broadcasters. I think people in England feel that way about the BBC, which when I was there had just shut down its original building and was moving house.
Yeah.
So this huge historical place that, you know, had all these things, you know, and a broadcasting house, I guess what it was called.
Right.
And, you know, had all, you know, this great history, had this almost 100-year history. You know, now it's over.
Though to be fair, you don't need that much space anymore.
No, I know. But I just think in terms of you don't need that much space anymore, why do you need a brand new building?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
same thing with CBC here. Speaking of CBC radio, it's very strange whenever I go to do CBC radio interviews or what have you. Like I go in and you're sitting in a room with all this equipment, tons of equipment, big microphones, this, that, and the other, big switchboards.
Yeah.
And they pull out the little digital recorder that you can buy at the source, Radio Shack, the source. And they'll turn that on and that's what they record you with.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, why are we here? Why are we in this enormous room?
Yeah.
Like aside from tradition, like I feel bad because, there's a lot of history here, but then turn it into a damn museum. Like turn it into the Canadian, television and radio museum. Bob's your uncle, that's what you do. Maybe record one or two things here for fun.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for this to exist anymore.
Let
me tell you, when you go now to do a TV show with the CBC, here's what happens. They go, "How are you gonna do it?" "Who's producing it?" "I was hoping you were." "No, we don't do that anymore. So you just do it and you bring it to us." "Oh." And the obvious question then becomes, "And I need you because?"
Yeah.
It's the picnic face dilemma. It's like, you know, they did everything themselves. They edited the show themselves, directed it, and then they took it to the Comedy Network. And all the Comedy Network did was put it on TV. And frankly, we're about, probably less than 5 years away from that being no fucking point at all.
Yeah.
You know, just everyone watches stuff online anyway. So just freaking put it online and do it yourself.
So you could stream it with other people.
Yeah, exactly. Or not even with other people. Like, just put it online and then people, pick what they want to watch, much like they do with podcasts or what have you. And they line them up and, I want to listen to them in this order. I'll watch it when this is happening. And, I mean, that's what the future is.
But you'll have to figure out some sort of pay-as-you-go system. Otherwise, what's the point of doing it?
Oh, Oh, you mean as in like how will you make a profit off of that?
How would you?
Well, your pay is so shit with Canadian. Okay, here's the thing. If you do a show like a Comedy Now, that's like the biggest kind of comedy thing in Canada, really. It's like you get a Comedy Now special, and I don't know if it's an hour or like a half hour. I think it's an hour, but maybe it's a half hour.
Okay,
so you do your Comedy Now special, which, by the way, is terribly edited, to the point where I know like some comics who's like the last thing they've got on there is a setup for something that doesn't get followed up on. And the laugh track consistently likes every comic the same. Just ha ha ha. Okay. So from what I've been told, because I've never done one, you get $1,500 for that.
Wow. And that's all your material gone.
Well, that's, yeah. Basically, it's like, it's supposed to be like, well, it's good publicity. It's an ad for you. And it'll run forever. By the way, it'll run forever while you've now gotten better. So like if you did it like 5 years ago, you're like, oh, I wish that wasn't airing anymore. But yeah, $1,500. And really the only person I know that's really benefited from that was Russell Peters. And that was because someone put it up on YouTube. They tried to take that stuff down.
Yeah.
Like they desperately tried to take it down. It was like, hey, knock it off. But because it was on YouTube, it became popular around the world. And now he's the most successful, clearly Canadian stand-up comic and possibly North American stand-up comic because of YouTube, not because of the special.
Yeah.
Because the special got bootlegged up. Which they tried to fight.
Yeah, of course.
If Canadian TV had its way, that never would have happened, and the success never would have happened. So the only successful, really, you know, person through that system, it's been completely accidental. Not just accidental, the opposite of what was intended. Yay, Canada! Hooray!
Ian's on a roll today.
Well, we got healthcare. He's That's mad. Nice. We got some healthcare.
He's mad.
Yeah.
Well. So,
no, I'm not actually mad. It's been so long that I'm not mad.
He's furious.
No, I'm just okay. I'm not gonna. A lot of times people think I'm angry about certain things that I'm not. It's not anger. It's just I'm not gonna work there anymore because it's silly and there's no point. And life doesn't go on forever. So I could either work for this company.
Joking David, with you.
I'm not angry.
Okay. You're not angry.
All right. I'll put down the knife.
So that was actually a letter opener.
It was a British letter opener.
So a couple of shows back.
It's nice that I still have letters. Anyway, go ahead.
It is nice to get letters. Mm-hmm. Only they weren't all bills. Am I right?
Dave's the born loser. Anyone know the born loser comic strip?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I do.
It's
on the same page as the Lockhorns.
Yeah. Why don't they get a divorce?
I don't know.
These guys hate each other.
They do, don't they?
They hate each other. And frankly, they look like brother and sister. It's creepy. They probably should get a divorce. They're probably related.
For the consummate.
Inbreds. Yeah. We didn't like each other when we were brother and sister. We don't like each other now that we're married.
That didn't help. Maybe if we have kids, it'll help.
They all look like worms.
That's right. This child with his arm growing out of his chest. This makes it better.
Oh, boy. What a life.
What a way to run a railroad.
Oh, my mother-in-law is showing up, and she's my mom, too. Oh, boy. She doesn't approve of this at all.
That's right.
Because I used to date her as well.
Forget it.
Okay, I'm forgetting it. Moving on.
I was going to say something, but I decided. No, I was going to go back a couple of shows to when we were talking about top 10 movies.
Let's turn on the Wayback Machine.
Okay.
Talking with David M.
Talking with David M about his top 10 films.
Top 10.
And we had some people send in their top 10 films.
Oh, neat. Okay.
You posted your top 10 movies.
I might have.
You're denying
it
now?
I don't remember much. The heat stroke from last week erased my memory.
It's a similar problem. But here on a piece of paper.
Okay. Dave's got the top 10 list. David's top 10.
Oh, before I talk about that, I just want to talk about this other thing. So this is short.
Okay.
I was listening to a song. It's by Bobby Womack. Do you know Bobby Womack? The singer Bobby Womack?
I know the name.
Okay. He wrote the song Across 110th Street, which you probably haven't seen that movie, but it opens Jackie Brown. It's the song that's playing as she's walking through the airport.
And if you come to Vancouver, there's a giant Womack sign on Broadway that is now covered by the Toys R Us sign.
That's Bomack.
Okay, sounds good. I stand corrected.
I think you're thinking of Wami Bomack.
I am thinking of Wami Bomack.
Okay. So not Bobby Womack.
I am not thinking of either now. I'm thinking of something more interesting. I'm thinking of what I'll do after this podcast is over. Counting down the minutes.
So it's a song that he wrote called Looking for a Love.
Sure.
And it's kind of a fun song.
In all the wrong places.
Not Looking for Love. This is a different song. I'm not going to sing it for you.
Okay.
Maybe I'll play it.
It's Looking for Love. This song is by The Searchers.
Looking for Love by The Searchers.
Yes.
That's wrong.
Okay.
That's wrong. The Searchers did Pins and Needles.
Very good.
And when you walk in the room?
What happens when I walk in the room?
They sing a Jackie DeShannon
song. Now, Pins and Needles, that was a song about your arm falling asleep.
That's right. I'm sitting on your leg for too long.
By the way, I think the song was Needles and Pins.
I think it was Needles and Pins. You're right. Yes. I'm sorry.
You stand corrected.
I usually do.
All right.
So this song is called Looking for a Love.
Okay, tell me. He's looking for Pins and Needles about this whole thing.
I'll just read you a little bit of the lyrics in a kind of a Steve Allen sort of a way.
Okay. It goes,
I'm looking for a love. Looking for a love. Well, no, I'm looking here and there. Searching everywhere. Gotta. I've gotta find someone. But what I thought was interesting when I listened to the song was who he was looking for. This is what he wants.
Jesus.
Okay. Someone to get up in the morning and rub his head.
Now, when he says head, does he mean?
I think he means head.
Very good.
Because the song is, I think it's head.
All right.
I'm just thinking in context of the time it was released and things. Someone to fix my breakfast and bring it to my bed. That's what he also is looking for.
I'm assuming he's a bald man. Am I? Because that's the only people that would like their head rubbed.
I don't really know.
You want your hair tussled. If you're a bald man, you want your head rubbed.
And then after he's had breakfast brought to him in bed.
Right.
This is true romanticism. I hope everyone recognizes this.
Okay.
He wants someone to do a little housework and then come back to him again. I'm assuming in bed.
Okay.
Where? Yeah. With lots of love and kisses.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of is an indecipherable phrase that I assume means, you know, get it out.
Oh, you mean
get the breakfast dishes and stuff out of the bedroom. Because
that's going to solidify.
Because, you know, yeah, I mean, it's fun to get breakfast and bread for about the first minute.
Yeah.
And then you're immediately tired of balancing a bowl of cereal and some stuff on a tray in your bed. And then you're trapped by it.
You sure are.
You're like, oh, I can't even.
Now, I'm assuming this fellow is quadriplegic.
No, he's not. That's the thing. He wants someone to get up, you know, someone to get up in the morning.
Get up in the morning.
Rub his head. Fix him breakfast. Bring it to him.
Right.
Then go do some housework.
Sure.
Vacuum. Right. Wash the bathroom.
Right.
Do some laundry.
Okay.
Then come back to bed again.
Okay.
Where they do it.
Right.
And then I guess she takes the dishes away, then comes back, and that's part of the housework.
I assume he must have gotten the dishes taken away, because he wouldn't. Like, what's he doing sitting in bed, just trying to go back to sleep?
But it just struck me as kind of odd.
It's a long time to be in bed while she does, like, laundry and stuff.
Doesn't that seem like the oddest love song you've ever heard?
It's a very odd love song of the era. Here's my problem with breakfast in bed.
Okay.
Okay. Like, whenever you see it in a movie or something, it's like, Daddy, we made you breakfast in bed.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, daughter. Goes tray on the lap. And all I can think is, like, doesn't he have to pee?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
that's right. So you're drinking orange juice and a full bladder.
And a coffee.
And a coffee on a full bladder.
And a bowl of cereal with milk.
Have this diuretic while you're trapped underneath this tray, Dad. Aren't you happy, Daddy? Really happy.
Trying to eat as fast as possible, darling. Yes, fantastic.
This tray is pushing down on my bladder.
Yes, oh, delicious. Couldn't be better.
All right.
Now, that does sound like an odd...
I was listening to it, and it just struck me as kind of funny.
Let's just say the past was different.
Yeah, but that's like 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't that seem like sort of passé by that point to be...
Yeah, well, what came first, that song or 9 to 5?
Well, 9 to 5 came much later than that song.
Pour Myself a Cup of Ambition. Like, she's doing a lot of stuff. She's making a lot of things, and then
is she doing it for someone else?
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe she's just getting off to work. I'm trying to think of a song of someone going, I really enjoy cooking for my man. Boy, that's a tough one. I really enjoy laundry.
Yeah, there's not that many songs that detail, you know, how about the joy of, there's a band called The Joy of Cooking.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think they meant cooking in the sense of jamming, like playing together.
I know in the 80s there was a lot of people being concerned that their angels were centerfolds.
Yes, that's true.
Their blood would run cold.
At that thought of...
Their angel being a
centerfold.
Yeah.
That's different than their angel being in center field.
That's right. That was a movie.
That's okay.
That was one of those movies that was interesting because
apparently I had a complaint from someone that they don't like the sound of sirens going by. So I just want to point out that that's not happening to you. It's happening to us.
Right.
Go on. Sorry.
Okay. That's the song, The Sound of Sirens.
The Sound of Sirens.
From the 60s.
From the band Simon... and Wong.
Sure. That's from Simon and Simon. the brothers solving mysteries. Okay, you had a second sheet of paper, I believe.
There's
more on this paper, piece of paper.
There's a lot because this is people's top tens.
Oh, well, now we're on the top tens. Okay, good.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it feels like.
Because if you don't, I'll have to edit this.
Here's the thing. We should have segments on this show, I think. So here we go. This is a segment.
This is a segment?
Top 10.
So you just want me to do one?
No, lots.
Oh, okay.
Do as much as you want.
Top 10.
We got 50 minutes to kill. People are on their treadmills. They have set it for a minute.
Okay.
If we stop now, here's what they have to do. They have to go, oh, and they have to like go and they're searching and like, what do I put on? Maybe a Planet Money, maybe a This American Life.
Do you want to?
This American Life is depressing and it's about murder.
Yeah, something terrible.
And it's just like, oh, just don't.
You don't want that.
It's about a monkey that thought it was a little girl and got its paws cut off. And it's just,
You should listen to our show, This Canadian Life. It's just a bunch of complaining about the radio and TV
about
shows.
Yeah, CBC. Yeah, you know how things used to be. All right. Weather was better.
So. Do you want me to start with your list or with one of our listeners?
Oh, well, why don't I do my list?
Okay. Okay. You're at the very bottom.
I'm at the bottom. Okay. Now, this is in no particular order, really. Okay. This is in order. Why not? Let's go with this. We got like Evil Dead 2.
That's a great choice.
All right. It's like Evil Dead, but it's...
way better.
It's better.
Because it has the slapstick.
It also starts fantastically. It just starts with,
yeah.
This is the deal, and this happens, and we're there, and we're in, and it's great.
But even then, it just keeps on at a crazy breakneck pace. It only kind of loses that pace once more characters join.
Right.
Then it kind of slows down a little bit, but it's still fun.
It's still fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Then we got Shaun of the Dead, which...
I wouldn't put that on my list, but... I know you like it a lot.
I do.
Why do you like it so much?
I think it's a brilliantly written and super tightly directed.
Because it's a circle. You like that it kind of predicts itself?
Well, I like that element. We've talked about that before, that I like that they do things in it where, like, in the bar, they predict everything that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think, like, I watch, like, just a scene from it, and I just go, there's no fat to any of this.
Yeah.
There's no extra. You can tell, like, when they shot this, there was no coverage. You better cover this as well. It was just, like, everything is what the director wanted. Everything is what the writer and director as a team wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it just moves like a bullet.
Okay.
And it's funny. It works as a love story. It works as a horror story. It's genuinely surprising, and I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Then All You Need Is Cash. I think that's a made-for-TV movie.
I don't even know if it's a movie, but, well, you know,
it's
can have
it. It's movie length, I would say. It's more than an hour.
It's an hour. No, it's an hour.
Is it just straight an hour?
I think it is an hour.
Okay.
I think it was an hour-long special,
enough.
But anyway,
but
it's still really
but
good.
I thought that was a pretty dead-on, like, of all the parody-type movies. I think that's the best of the bunch.
Oh, yeah.
They got the Beatles just dead on. So good. Then I got Spider-Man 2, which I think is the best superhero movie aside from the... Oh, I didn't put the Avengers down. Yeah, well, there you go. Aside from the Avengers, I would replace it with the Avengers.
So but, you would kick Spider-Man 2 off for the Avengers now?
I would say so, yeah.
Just because of the closing titles?
Scene. I thought the closing titles just kind of showed, boy, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to replace it, with the Avengers movie. I think the Avengers movie works on many levels in that it works as an action movie on its own.
Yeah.
If you've never seen these guys, you get it.
Yeah.
But it also does exactly what Marvel Comics used to do, which was get the characters together, shows who they are, has them fight. There's a disagreement.
Yeah.
They all have to band together.
Yeah.
They all have a really good journey.
Yeah.
And there's no wasted space in that movie.
I like that. And there's not a lot of geek pity in that movie.
How so? What geek pity?
Well, a lot of superhero movies...
Oh, poor pitiful me.
Poor pitiful me. Like, you know, Captain America, the scene where he's naming all the streets where he got beaten up and things. There's always these sort of poor me kind of scenes that are supposed to appeal to the nerdy audience who are watching, who are, you know, the little man driving his car at the speed limit going, that's right, those big bullies, oh boy.
Yeah, even when you see something like Black Widow in the movie getting beat up, you realize she's still in control.
Yeah.
There's never a point where she's not in control.
Mm-hmm.
Except in moments where she's sort of alone and you can see that she is damaged.
Yeah.
But, like, I really enjoy especially – I love the scene with her and Loki. And she's talking and he thinks he's, like, pulled one over on her.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end, she's like, no, nope, there you go. Nope, yeah. Thanks for the information. And it's like, hey, God of Lies, you just got completely played. And it's just like, oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right.
Ratatouille, which I know you're not the biggest fan of.
Oh, no, I like it a lot.
Yeah?
I just wouldn't put it as the best. Oh, man, I just have to change a thing on my...
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, Ratatouille, I thought was beautifully done. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like a gutsy choice to do a movie
about
French
cooking. But you really like cooking thing. You were really into cooking.
I do like cooking. I also like Patton Oswalt a lot. So that leads me down that mm-hmm. path. But I also thought it was just like a good story and just beautifully done.
You're like, man, this is like the best animated version of Chopped I've ever seen.
Sure. Then Comedian.
That's a really good movie.
Yeah, which I think is also one of, like, my next one is Comedians of Comedy. I was going to go, yeah, I like that in Comedians of Comedy. I always think of those as a double bill. But Comedian was the Jerry Seinfeld one. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jerry Seinfeld and Orny Adams. And it was Jerry Seinfeld getting back into stand-up.
Yeah.
And it was great showing that it no matter how famous you get, it's always hard.
Yeah.
It's never easy. And I think there's a myth that people have in entertainment where they think after a certain point you can coast.
Well, no, I would say at a certain point you could coast.
You could be the Eagle.
But
you could just play the hits.
He could just play the hits, or he could just carry on doing, you know, what is it about airplane food or, you know, whatever.
But I think...
Because people love that thing, right?
But there's less...
Breakfast cereals.
But there's less of that you can do, I think, with stand-up. If you do the material that people already know, they're singing along with it. And you can do that with music, but you can't really do that with stand-up. You get hoots,
you
get appreciation.
Yeah, I think you could.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what you want, you could.
You could be Bill Cosby and go out and do the greatest hits.
What's admirable about him in that movie is that he doesn't, and that he throws his act away and rebuilds it. And you get to watch him start from the very... You know, the beginning where he's just doing little bits, just coming up on stage, doing little bits, something aren't working, making notes to himself, working stuff up until he has a full, I think a full hour.
Yep.
And then he performs in a live setting, like a full.
But he's still a little nervous about doing Letterman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that seeing that the comics are also fans. Him and Chris Rock going, Cosby. It's pretty like, wow, Cosby.
That, and then there's a scene where he's talking to, his name's got on my head, but the comedian played Larry Sanders and
Gary Shandling.
Gary Shandling, and Shandling's amazed that he threw away his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Shandling's like, I still keep some things. You know, he does. Obviously, you have to work new material in, but just the whole idea of throwing it all away is just amazing to him.
Yeah, and they tell that Benny Goodman story.
Seinfeld tells it to Orny Adams because Adams is worried about the fact that all his friends have houses, have families, and stuff like that, and he feels left behind. And Seinfeld says, you know, what are your priorities in your life? It's a good story.
Yeah.
It is a great story.
Yeah, the Benny Goodman one, for those of you that don't know it, is basically Benny Goodman is touring with his band and his bus breaks down in a snowy, snowy night. And it's miserable. It's just pounding snow and they all have their instruments. They have to walk to the gig and they pass by a house and inside the house is a family. And the family's sitting around a table and there's dad and the daughter and it's like warm fire in the fireplace. There's a dog there. They're all happy and they're all having dinner. And Benny Goodman looks in the window and just goes, can you believe some people live like this?
Yeah.
And it's like, yep. Yeah. And it's like, that's the mindset.
Well, that's what you need to be who they are.
Right.
And that's what he's saying.
Yeah. You see Jerry Seinfeld's mindset and you think like, oh, well, it must be easy for this guy. And to some degree it is, but some degree it isn't. It's, you still got to do the work. And you got Orny Adams, who's concerned about everything else but the work.
But the work.
And he's never going to be happy. And you're just like, oh, and so many comics are like that. And it's just like such a good cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Oh,
so how would you tie it in as a double bill to Comedians of Comedy, which is your next?
Comedians of Comedy is a little bit of a different beast in that when I stopped doing stand-up, it was because there was so many assholes, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like there was this – and it was kind of the time where comedy was a bit meaner and people were –
Well, I remember hanging around with you at that time and everyone was last name to everyone else, right?
Yeah.
You're always, hey, Boothby, blah, 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 blah. Even though you knew this person quite well. You were never Ian.
Well, they were trying.
You're always Boothby.
They were trying to do an old timey talk, like 40s. Just like, listen, Dedrick, I'll tell you this, and I'll give you this. And it was a bit too intimate to call someone by their first name. It was a bit too, let's just say, gay. That's basically what it was. It was too effeminate.
Okay.
And there was a harshness, and there was a listen, we're gonna tell the truth. This kind of. It was
a capital T.
Yeah, it was a lot of people trying to be like a Bill Hicks knockoff or an Andrew Dice Clay knockoff, and both are real tough to do. So, you know, I do a lot of touring, and people would do great with racist, homophobic material, and the audience would pay them off for that, and they'd be rewarded. And I just went, well, this is shit. I don't want to be part of this. There's a meanness to this. Yeah. And in the improv world, there wasn't that.
Yeah.
You know, there was still some cruelty, but you would work together with friends, and it would be like, okay, you're not, you know, you're not on your own so much. Then I saw Comedians of Comedy, and I was like, oh, it's a bunch of people that aren't assholes and who are trying to do alternative stuff. When I was doing my stand-up, I was what you would call now an alternative comic. I was doing stuff like, you know, trying to get the whole audience to jump at me while I wore 3D glasses doing...
Well, I remember playing a dead person in for one of your shows.
I don't remember that at all. You don't remember that? Okay. What happened with that?
Well, I didn't get many laughs.
Nope.
But you were late to the... You told everyone you were late to the gig, and then you explained why, and you had hit someone in your car.
Yeah.
But you felt so guilty you brought him to the show. And then there I was in a chair dead off to the side of the stage. It was a good bit. Like, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, but no payoff. And then I would do stuff like, I'd be like, you know, listen, it's my birthday, so would you mind if I came out and you just all hid and then yell, you know, you said surprise. And then I go like, well, if you could hide, that'd be great. And it's like, okay, but if you could really mean it. And then I just come out. And they're usually out of time at that point. Just like, thank, if you could all just sing happy birthday to me, it would really mean the world to me. That's my time. I'm done. I'm late. All stuff that sounds good and now might do well, then not so much.
Yeah.
So when I saw people like Zach Galifianakis who were doing that kind of stuff and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but they were fine with it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't people going, listen, you got to just get your tight five together, man. Mm-hmm. Get your tight five. You know, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, just tighten your damn act. Like when I remember there was one night where I got bumped up to the main, you know, evening show, like the main like weekend show. And after I did my stuff, the guy who booked me went, why didn't you do the funny stuff? I was like, well, I was trying to do the funny. What are you talking about? But I did something a little odd, and it was like, yeah, don't do that. That's not what this is about.
Yeah.
And Comedians of Comedy, just was like, yeah, that's the kind of stuff I like. There's four, and they weren't all doing the same type of stuff either. Maria Bamford's very different than Brian Posehn, very different than Patton Oswalt, very different than Zach Galifianakis. Mm-hmm. And so I found it very inspiring. And also, they're funny and nice.
Yeah.
And it was released about the same time that it then became a TV series, the same time Tourgasm with Dane Cook was. Just watch the two of those together and see night and fucking day. Tourgasm was what things were like when I was back in my day. This is what it's like now. My Neighbor Totoro.
Very good film.
Very good.
I love that movie.
And has what I think a lot of kids' movies need, which is a little bit of sadness to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the mom being sick.
Yeah.
That's what, you know.
And it has a good kind of scary sequence of the little sister disappearing.
Yep.
And even kind of when you're a kid, I didn't feel it so much, but I know that my daughters did when we watched it when they were little, is that even like the opening the house sequence is kind of suspenseful and scary because it's a strange place. And they really give you that effect. And plus, I just love the magic realism of it, that there's this world and then there's this underlying world of these sort of magical creatures that are there but aren't there.
Yeah.
Or there who can be seen by some people and not by others.
For if people you're looking who choose, for yeah.
Yeah, and I just love that,
yeah. Yeah, and you can almost smell the grass.
The same reason I love like the Heartbreak Soup stories with the ghosts and things, the Hernandez brothers. I just like that sort of magic realism.
That's interesting
stories.
Tying those two together. Yeah, if you like that, maybe check that out. This one did not do that well in theaters, but it's one of my favorite movies, is The Life Aquatic. With Bill Murray.
Very good movie. I do like that movie a lot.
That one just chokes me up at the end.
It is a wonderful, like the very end or when they're in the submarine.
In the submarine, looking at this shark and going, I wonder if he remembers me.
Yeah.
It's almost like the feeling of just like it's death, but it's like, I wonder if it cares. I wonder if I don't even, if I have any impact on that.
And all the time I've watched it, I've never thought of it as connected to Moby Dick, but it does have that element to it in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very Moby Dick.
It is sort of, that has a quest part of it.
Well, it's a person whose life is out of control and they're like, I'm going to take control of it by fighting this thing and killing it. And that's like, that ain't what it is. Mm-hmm. It's about it all. You can't control it. You can't control death. You can't control any of that. But you know, in the end, life's an adventure.
That movie has a very sad center to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like from the very beginning, it's very sad. And it, you know, I love that movie.
But then you also see the joy in the boy at the end of just like seeing, you know, the little seahorse and just like, this all goes on.
Yeah.
This is the next thing. Yeah. It's great. And then the ending with everyone walking and it's
in slow motion.
It's a tribute to Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, is that right?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Raiders of the Lost Ark, which I think is along with Jaws. Pretty darn perfect. Pound for pound, again, no fat on that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just like,
two people at the height of their game,
Yeah.
Making, I'm talking about Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg.
Wearing their inspiration on their sleeves.
Yeah.
And just like going to town and just like, and going, I can't think of any scenes I'd want cut.
And going for it. And even things like the improvised shooting the swordsman, things like that, where it's just, you know, what a perfect moment of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just seems so fitting to that character. And the fact that it's improvised makes it even better.
Well, it also, it makes it feel very Indiana Jones, because he's a guy who isn't the toughest guy in the room.
Yeah.
You know, he just like improvises something, mm-hmm. makes something up, and there you are.
Well, that's great. Yeah. That he could know his character that well, that he would, could bring that out. That's, I guess that's part of it too. Yeah. That's
it's a got good, a Nazi monkey in it. So there you go.
That's a good
I'm
list.
Handing the list back to you, my friend.
Oh, okay. Well,
we got time to run over a couple. Go.
Do you want to do another list?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay.
Everyone who's on the treadmill, you have now passed an hour. It's your choice if you want to continue or if you want to start your cool down.
Yeah, do your cool down. Okay. Well, how about I have a top 10 top 10 comedy films. Do you want to do that?
Sure.
That kind of would fall into our. This nice. Is Paul Thiessen, who is actually my EFM mentor.
Okay.
Who
what
sent
does EFM stand for?
Education for Ministry.
All right.
So this is kind of my amateur theology classes
right.
that I do.
For the band Ministry.
That's right. For the band Ministry. Yes, band Ministry. That's really going there. Okay, so his first one.
Okay.
These are all comedies.
Let's hope so. I'll be the judge of that.
You'll be the judge of that. Blazing Saddles.
I was going to go, The Sorrow and the Pity.
The Sorrow and the Pity. The Voyage of the Damned.
Schindler's List.
Persona. This guy has a funny sense of humor.
The Exorcist.
That is kind of funny, that
it
movie.
It is sometimes.
So Blazing Saddles, first film.
I agree. Yeah. Richard Pryor writing that with Mel Brooks.
It's almost be kind of fun to try and imagine what it would be like with him as the sheriff in it. Because
mm-hmm.
It was intended for him to play the sheriff. The studio wouldn't go for it because of his personal difficulties.
I wish it would be interesting because he would be cool in that. Like the sheriff in that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Richard Pryor, when in his movie career, played a lot of scared guys.
Yeah.
That was his deal, was you want to get him nice and scared. And it's like, meh, it's kind of fun to see him. You know, it was different than his persona in mm-hmm. stand-up. And I think...
That's right.
Yeah.
This would have been closer to that cool cat. And I think he would have been more of a less kind of... middle of the road than the guy who played it, you know, obviously played it the way the studio wanted, but I think that Pryor could have brought a bit of edge to that.
And I think it was a Mel Brooks film about a genre that Mel Brooks loved.
Yeah.
And that matters.
Well, I mean, I do like those, you know, those three films that come from that period of Young Frankenstein and then...
High Anxiety.
And
then you get into Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think that's so good. Well, after History of the World part,
which
whatever it was.
Which is about half good. Yeah, not that great. That's not good. Hitler on Ice, I enjoyed it. I did like Hitler on Ice. All right.
But you felt like he was kind of redoing things from the producers.
A little bit.
Okay, the next one is Being There.
I have not seen that.
I've never seen it either.
I did read the Mad Magazine parody.
I probably did too. Right. And I've never been to... it's always on, and Lisa always wants me to watch it, and I've just never been tempted to watch it.
All right, maybe we'll watch it.
So I'll say I haven't watched it. Here's one that's a particular favorite. I've seen this movie many times, which is Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Never seen... Yeah, you've seen it.
Of course, you liar. Now, that's a film that's interesting because... It also is very improvised because of budgetary problems.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the Camelot sequence, where they had intended to go to Camelot, but because all the castles they intended to use were forbidden to use by British Heritage, then they had to do this quick thing where they had to like find private castles owned by, you know, people who own them privately.
Which is funny that exists.
Which, yeah.
To North Americans, the idea of their private castles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
castles for money.
There wasn't that many of them, so they had to use the same ones from various angles and try to, yeah.
Okay.
So Camelot, so, you know, in, there's a sequence where they sing the song.
Yeah.
And then they say, on second thought, let's not go there. It's a silly place. Because they had no Camelot to go to. So that was improvised.
It's a blessing sometimes to not have a budget or have things go completely wrong.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I never understood the ending to the movie because I always thought it just cut it off.
Yeah.
I always thought there'd be more movie and then there wasn't.
But it is kind of a brilliant ending and it really, you know, I think if you did it now, of course, it's past its due date.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those you're like, oh, you got it first.
Because what's nice is it's a running gag from the sort of halfway through the film. You start seeing the police come investigating various different sites and then, you know, it comes to the end of the film. And then what's interesting in the end of the movie is it was mostly students playing the onrushing army. And if you watch it carefully, you can see hardly any of them are in costume. they mostly are just people running in a field because they didn't have enough costumes for everyone.
Did you see Spamalot ever?
No.
It's worth a see. It's not as good as the film.
Yeah.
It made you kind of want to go, I see why you did it based on this. But maybe just do your own damn move, a musical sometime. Maybe just do just a musical. Don't have to do the Python stuff.
Yeah.
Just it looked like you really wanted to just do something else. But okay, fair enough. It was the problem that we're talking with Seinfeld. Everyone knew the jokes.
Yeah.
So the jokes aren't getting laughs because they're the jokes. The jokes are getting the laughs because I know that.
Applause. You're getting applause.
Yeah. You're getting clapter.
I hate the clapter. I hate the clapter.
Okay.
So the next film is Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
Very good film.
Beautifully shot.
Really well shot, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it's a labor of love.
And Gene Wilder, speaking of Blazing Saddles, how good's Gene Wilder?
Yeah, yeah.
How good is Gene Wilder, period?
Everything you wanted to know about love, but we're afraid to ask.
Sex, yes.
Everything you wanted to know about sex, but we're afraid to ask, is Seton with him in love with a sheep.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Yep. Who else could do that? Yep. I forget, there's some Gene Wilder movie where it's also a Western movie, and he's in it, and he's really good.
I know that one, and I can't remember the name of it now.
But
Kid Dingo or something like that.
Damn, Gene Wilder's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then the next one is one, I do love this movie a lot, and if it's on TV, I will watch part of it at least, which is Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy that film.
I do enjoy watching part of that film now. I can't watch the whole thing just because it gives me a headache seeing repetition. I got a problem with repetition. It makes me nauseous.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just like, I can't. It's like a nightmare. I can't. It's making me nauseous. I got to leave. But I appreciate the movie, and I think it's very well done. And it's good for Harold Ramis, good director.
Yeah, and it's a very successful, sentimental, unsentimental film.
Yep.
Like it's never cloying. And I would say, even though I love It's a Wonderful Life, I would agree with anyone who says that it's sentimental and it's kind of sugary and corny in that way.
It's not for the most part.
It's not for the most part, but it does have those elements to it.
I'd say like it's about 5% cloying and sweet.
Really? Is that all you'd give it?
Well, if you look at there's a lot of time in This Wonderful Life before I've had enough of this.
I know it's very dark, but there's lots of small town corniness in it of a kind of an idealized Americana that, may or may not have actually existed. Since I didn't live at that time, I do not know.
Right.
I'm assuming that there were good and bad in those times. Yes, and everyone in that time.
We learn to live each other.
Yes.
We need to survive together alive.
Next film, Trading Places.
All right. Yeah, good premise, well executed.
I don't know if I put it in a top 10 myself.
When was the last time you saw it?
When I saw it, when it came out.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis topless, pretty good.
Breasts, yeah, very nice.
Pretty good.
After her breast augmentation.
Was it?
Yes.
All right.
So you had to really appreciate them.
That was a good use of Eddie Murphy, too. That's in that golden Eddie Murphy, hilarious. Remember how hilarious Eddie Murphy was? And then some stuff happened.
Then something, I don't know what happened.
I got theories.
Oh, you got theories? Okay.
I got theories.
We'll talk about it off mic. Off mic. That's dinner talk.
Yeah.
Next one. This is a really good film, I think. Office Space.
We're gonna do. By the way, dinner talk is our next podcast. Okay.
We're just gonna bring a microphone into the restaurant with us and
ting,
talk.
Ting, 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 ting.
We could do that actually.
We could. Yeah.
We could do two shows.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. Well, remember what I said earlier about you don't live forever? Okay. All right. Let's just go ahead.
Office Space.
Okay. Office Space. Office Space, I think, loses it in the third act, but I think it's a really good premise.
Loses it where?
Loses it where I think the deal is the guy becomes fearless, but then he gets fear.
Yeah.
And it's like the thing you've set up earlier on does not happen later. And it's like, wait a minute. Didn't
I don't like
you say
part.
The whole thing was was this?
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, when he gets all panicky because of the penny thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, this should not be happening. You're supposed to not care.
You've told me. This is the whole reason we're watching this movie.
I agree.
But I think Gary Cole, great. Stephen Root, great.
Fantastic, yeah. Yeah.
And based on a cartoon, based on a little animated short.
Oh, is that right?
That I'll put on. Yeah, that was first shown on Saturday Night Live. It was the, I'm going to burn the place to the ground. That was a little Mike Judge animated short.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. That people probably saw during Ike and Spike's.
Yeah, they also, I think they did Spike and Mike's bikes for Tykes.
Ike and Mike's candies. Okay, this one is an underappreciated gem, I think, which is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I will also say Bogus Journey has
some good stuff but I think it doesn't hang together quite as well as
it falls a little bit apart, but I like their rendition. I'm sorry, I'm going to switch to that movie for a second. I like their version of Hell.
Okay.
I thought that like having the ceiling be low was just like, oh, that is bad. The ceiling was low.
We could start back
it's
all
like
the time.
A Vancouver basement. It's terrible. But yeah, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was charming and a good little twist at the end with how to, you know, that again, you can never do again. But you're like, why doesn't every time travel movie use this idea of I'm just going to come back after we're done and give myself the thing I need?
Yes, yes. And it also has a line, which I probably always misquote, but it has become part of my lexicon, which is strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Yes.
I love that line. Now, this is a film
Ted.
Ted. Oh, but I don't know any Ted, so I can't really...
You got to throw Ted. And Jane Weitzel from the Go-Go's.
The Go-Go's, yes.
Yeah, is in there.
As Joan of Arc.
Right. She's a nerd now. Oh, she's always been a nerd, probably, but she's at Comic-Con quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And that's neat.
She's one of us.
She is one of us. She does a comic book with a friend of mine, Bill Morrison.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of it, but look up Bill Morrison and Jane Weitzel. They've got a comic book.
It's actually Wieland, but anyway.
Is it Wieland?
Yeah.
Oh, for the love of the Lord. I know Weitzel as well.
Okay.
So, Wieland. Sorry if for some reason you're listening to this.
Personally, I think the list takes a dip now, which is my cousin.
Biodome.
My cousin Vinny.
Well, that's the only Academy Award winner on the list, though, Dave.
Someone won an Academy Award in it. That's true.
That is
Did
true.
Did they actually deserve it? But anyway.
Listen, her biological clock was ticking, ticking, ticking. Hey! And you know what?
I think the less said about that film, the better.
There was Utes.
There was Utes in the film?
Yeah. You know what?
I saw it on the plane, so I don't know if I can judge it accurately.
I'm also going to give you this one. I'm not a big Joe Pesci fan, but I do like a Fred Gwynn.
Fred Gwynn is pretty good in it.
And Fred Gwynn, and you know, throw Fred Gwynn a bone. That was probably, you know, it gave him a nice little burst of glory.
Yeah,
there.
At the end.
That guy did a lot of Car 54. He saved a lot of lives on Car 54.
Car 54. That, which you can see on MeTV. I'll say that I saw it on a plane near the tail end of a 14-hour plane ride. Mm-hmm. Probably not the happiest I've ever been in my life. So.
Okay.
It did help while away the hours. I'll give it that. The last one is, I think, a classic but flawed film, which is Strange Brew. The Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Okay,
film.
Yeah. I reviewed that film on television.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was my only time reviewing a film
on
television. All it was on Switchback. And they gave me free tickets, and I went to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I reviewed it too. I said it was the best movie I'd ever seen, which at that point it had been. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. It's great fun. Really
great.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And then I think it just gets...
Runs out of money.
It tries to be Blues Brothers, but it hasn't got Blues Brothers budget.
Yeah.
And you can't have cars whip around, so you just have a bunch of guys in hockey outfits falling on their bums. And flawed. But The Flying Dog, good stuff.
Yeah. I can... It's been a while since I saw it, as usual, so I can't... But I do remember... You know, the hockey players. And
it bugged me that the father, whatever voice they used for the father, sounded just like Yosemite Sam. And I'm just like, is that Mel Brooks?
I think it's just Dave Thomas doing the voice.
Yeah, it's just someone, doing that. But no, it was, you know what, it's charming. It's a charming.
Yeah.
Now, is this friend of yours, is he a Canadian?
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
Okay. I would say it's a film that Canadians like.
I would say that outside of Canada, it's... Hardly known at all.
It's like when you bring up Canadian Bacon, which again is a film that Canadians seem to enjoy.
I've never seen it.
Oh, I think you would enjoy. Once again, it goes a little Strange Brewy in that. Holy cow, that's a good first two acts, and then slappity dappity, actiony smactiony.
Can't think of what to
but
do.
But there's
next.
Some there's one of the funniest Dan Aykroyd scenes I think ever in Canadian Bacon.
Okay,
so give that a shot.
I just saw him in Gross Point Blank.
It's all right.
He was really good in that.
Yeah, he's all right in that. Yeah.
No, he wasn't all right. He was really good in
that. Sure, whatever you want.
That was a really good movie.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
You didn't like it?
It was good. You know what?
Your voice went too high to be believable.
Look, I'm a little bit prejudiced.
Okay.
I think like almost any time for me when you get into a movie with like a hitman or something,
yeah.
I think you lose me a little bit
okay.
in that I can never get behind that character
yeah.
because I'm just like, well, he's a murderer.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
almost like starting a character with like, he's a rapist, but wait a minute, he's also a single father who wants to da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, but you lost me with like, he's a guy who murders people.
Yeah.
But that's just the bug up my nose.
It's up your nose.
It's up my nose.
Okay. Well, we do have a few more top 10 lists to talk about, but I think we can do that next show maybe.
Cliffhanger. We should have ended like after
also,
like one.
It also includes my list.
Oh.
which we'll talk about next time.
So tune in next week, everybody, for that.
And David will quickly re-edit his list.
Countdown to the 100th episode.
Countdown starting.
Long countdown.
It's a long countdown.
Who doesn't like a long countdown, though?
Everyone does. The final countdown. We'll have to start every show with that. Doo-loo, doo-doo, doo-loo, whatever that, you know, that song.
Yeah, I was going to actually do the song. Oh, okay, you do it. Going off of your own
scatter. Okay, you do it. Nope. Let's hear it.
Nope.
You do it. Do it.
I'm going to put it to
do it now. Do it, motherfucker.
I can't. Yes, you can.
Because you just made fun of me for not being able to do it.
Thanks very much for listening to the Stinky Dragon. I'm blocking your offer.
Nice.
It's the final countdown.
Ian is all about yes and.
Which you could easily then go into the Bob and Doug McKenzie theme song. Really easily into that. Someone out there do a mashup. All right. Oh, I wish we hadn't ended that way. But we did. You know, no excuses.
I thought it was great.
That's one thing we don't do in Canada, and that's apologize. So we're not doing that.
Nope.
All right. Sorry. So, listen, if you want to come and see me in Vancouver, I don't know. I might be doing a show. Who knows? I don't know. If you want to read my comic books, Simpsons and Futurama comic books, I do those kind of things.
You know what? I just want to say right now.
Oh, boy.
They're always so good.
Oh, thank you.
They're always so good.
Thanks. Okay. I really appreciate that.
No problem.
Is there anything fun going on in your neck of the woods that you might be attending? Maybe you're going to go to a concert or something and people could go, hey, is that Dave in the audience? Yeah, I heard him talking about this concert he's going to. Something fun, a movie you're going to see.
Well, I'm going to go see Paranorman.
Boo-bum. There we go. Go see Paranorman. Maybe you'll see Dave there. Or maybe see Dave's ghost.
Because the girls went and saw it and they want me to go see it again with them.
Yep, stop motion animation. It's the wave of the future.
It is.
Yep.
Everyone loves that hard work and stuff.
They do.
Like, let's do this really fretful, picky thing that takes hours and hours to do for seconds of film.
Yeah. And then it's awesome. If there's a fire, you lose it all.
Do you know when you develop a love for that? When you're a lonely teenager.
I was going to say, that's when I did. I feel like now I should do stop motion animation with these two things you've bought me. And I've got the technology, but I probably will be much too lazy. We'll see. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Again, if you're on the treadmill, stop running. It's been too long. Mm-hmm. I've been Ian Boothby.
And I've been David Dedrick.
All right. You just all take it easy out there, okay, everybody? You know, and you know what? Take those vitamin supplements because they are important. Omega-3, good for the heart, good for the brain. This has been Health Talk with Dave and Ian.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye.
Cheerio. I'm looking for a love. I'm looking for a love. I'm going to find. Searching everywhere.